another episode of The Feminine Critique covering Fear Itself. We are somewhere in the middle of the series, and my excitement may have waned a bit, because I don't know about you, but don't know that I love today's episode, entitled Something With Bite.
I've been invigorated by the fact that we're almost done,
so yeah.
I can take on anything.
Well, I guess that also might be telling, though. So let's talk about the pedigree behind Something With Bite. If you guys listened to our last episode, you know that we got really excited and then very not excited.
Very sad.
Yes.
In a matter of a couple moments.
It really was the, yeah, it was somebody baking you a beautiful cake and putting it in front of you, and then, like, before you could take a bite, peeing on it, right?
I mean, look, if that's what you want to use, sure, I can get behind that.
But you have a better analogy?
No, but it is like, hey, keep your stupid son away from something that might have been cool.
Yeah, yeah. So in this case, the reason we were excited was because this episode's directed by Ernest Dickerson.
Woo!
Of Tales from the Crypt Presents Demon Knight. Of Surviving the Game.
Yep. Juice, and, which I haven't seen, but I hear is good.
Oh, you'd love it. It's so bananas.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, and part of the reason why I was really excited for his episode wasn't just because I love his movies, but also because he is a really accomplished television director. He has directed episodes of almost every show you can imagine, including and some great shows, including The Wire. He did some great episodes of The Purge last year. Every time he's done a Walking Dead episode, you usually leave it saying, hey, that was a pretty good episode. And then you look and say, oh, no wonder why. Look who directed it. Great television director. The guy knows how to work within that medium. And his Masters of Horror episode, you and I both really liked. It wasn't perfect. It had some script stuff, but it was really well done, enjoyable, energetic, all of those things.
Yes.
So this episode was written by
Max Landis.
Yeah, poop. Insert poop sound.
Yeah.
We've had to talk about this guy way more than we've wanted to because we think he's a piece of shit.
And yet here he is again.
I know. I mean, this was probably the beginning of his career. And again, we know this because his daddy is famous and got him jobs. So therefore, he was able to get work on this show just like he was on Masters of Horror. And look, I don't just hate you because your daddy's famous. Dan Levy is Eugene Levy's son. Schitt's Creek probably wouldn't have happened if that wasn't the case. But you know what? Dan Levy took the opportunity and made something really good. So I have no problem with Dan Levy. I also don't think he raped a bunch of women, unlike Max Landis, where it's pretty clear that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Honestly, I might have this, like, I'm actually glad that Max Landis is as terrible as he is, because I don't want to have to do that thing where I'm like, racist artist. No, he's crap, and
his
output is crap. So, like,
yes. And that's the thing, is we haven't liked, I mean, I haven't liked anything he's done. I did not is Chronicle the big thing that, like, was supposed to be his good thing that people really liked?
Yeah.
I saw
Chronicle when it first came out. I haven't seen it since, so I don't know if past Christine's opinions can be trusted.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But then American Ultra, which is Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg,
okay,
which should literally be the best movie ever made, is garbage. It's absolute trash garbage. I hate it with a fiery passion because the way that Kristen Stewart's character is handled in it is really, really offensive.
That's so shocking from somebody like Max Landis, who has such respect for women.
He had it. Like, he had the keys, and he couldn't fucking get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really offensive. Like, great, you use nepotism to get an opportunity. Like you just said about Dan Levy. Like, then now fucking do something about
it. Yeah, make it work for you, yeah. So tell me the storyline of Something With Bite. And again, we do spoil, which is such a subjective term in an episode. But we are going to go through all the plot details. So if you haven't seen it and really want to, I don't know, I guess watch it on the Roku channel. But if not, Christine, tell us what happens in this episode.
So this episode, basically it's about a vet who gets bit by a mysterious animal that turns out to be a werewolf and then turns into a werewolf, becomes a werewolf. But then you learn that werewolves can be good or bad. They don't have to be bad people. It's kind of like, which is actually, as I'm saying it out loud, an interesting idea. Mm-hmm, like, sure. Being a werewolf doesn't make you bad. Being a bad person makes you bad.
Right.
Which I do. I wish it had been about that, because it's not. But then, in a shocking twist, it then becomes an episode of Hannibal, which is so fucking weird. So then there's all these murders around town. Why didn't someone just go over this script? I don't know. It might not have been garbage, but there's a serial killer, and we're like, oh my god, is the vet the serial killer? Is he a big wolf serial killer, or is there another wolf serial killer out there? And then come to find out, it's a man that has a wolf costume that pretends to be a werewolf and kill people so that a werewolf will come and make him a werewolf, which is just a lot of reference. It felt very like Buffy, that weird episode where they all thought that a vampire was going to come and turn them into a vampire.
What is that episode called? Season 3.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, that's really bothering me that I can't remember. Is it Lie to Me? Lie to Me. Yeah, that's it. Because because it's the guy that she knew as a kid.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the man has a wolf costume, and then he is the killer. A man in a wolf costume, not even a wolf. Which is like that. Is that season 2 of Hannibal, where Jonathan Tucker, the love of my life, shows up, and I'm bringing it back to Masters of Horror, Jonathan Tucker from Dance of the Dead, shows up in a costume and is like a serial killer guy. I haven't actually gotten back to season 2 of Hannibal, but it was very that, and it was weird, and I was like, this is like Hannibal.
And what's interesting is, as you're saying all of this, like,
all this sounds great.
Well, yeah, it does, like, because in theory, there's things about this that really should work, mm-hmm. and I had almost forgotten about the serial killer aspect of it. Because the flip of it is this it's the tone of this episode, which is so weird. And it's trying to be comedic, but it doesn't really seem to know how to reconcile that with, oh no, but here's this really bad dude who's killing people that we're supposed to like, even though I think this episode kind of has, like, one of the worst performances of any of these shows. Mm-hmm. But here is our character. Our main character is Wendell Pierce from The Wire, who's a great actor and a very smart guy, really, really interesting. If you follow him on Twitter, like, he's very politically active and savvy and all that. And he is a treasure. He is a great actor. And he's supposed to kind of be like a slob. Like, I guess that's what they're going for in the beginning, that he's, you know, like, he's a big guy, he's overweight, and he forgets things, and he's a vet, but he's kind of lazy. So then when he becomes a werewolf, I don't really understand what kind of werewolf he becomes. Like, because we never really, I guess, see him as a werewolf until he goes and kills the bad guy. And I guess that's where it's supposed to be like, oh no, see, you were good because you knew right from wrong. And now it's the end of the show and everybody's a werewolf except for your wife, so you're going to make her a werewolf? Like, I got confused, and I shouldn't get confused in a 45-minute story. Because at the end of the episode, so there's a couple, because when they bring in the werewolf, it turns out that he is the son of this older couple who are vegan werewolves. And they're kind of hippies, like, you know, they own an antique shop kind of thing. And at the end of the episode, like, they're all sitting down to Thanksgiving together, and, like, they're eating vegan, but is the son now a werewolf too? Do you know? Did I just did I just miss it? Because it seems like the end of the episode, because now the vet assistant, the other person we have to talk about, who I felt so bad for this actress, I don't know who is to blame, if it is her or if it is Dickerson for directing her this way, but it's so frustrating because the tone of this episode goes everywhere, and she is overacting so hard that it was uncomfortable for
me.
I
loved her.
Did you really?
Yeah, she was like, she was awesome, I thought.
She, you know what, she reminded me of Angela Bettis in Sick Girl. Like, that's what she was doing, But that's not what the rest of this episode was doing.
No. You know what? I might have liked her and gravitated to her so much because I kind of wished that her, the tone she was striking was the tone of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because I don't understand the tone of it at all. Like,
because I actually didn't hate the Wilbur character. I got what they were doing, and I got what I was supposed to get out of it, I guess. But it was just really thin and like underdeveloped and underexplored. So like he's a slob and he's unattentive, and then becoming a werewolf makes him better. I guess. But like more attentive and more aware, but why and the implications of that aren't really explored at all.
Because so, all he's really better at is like he's a little bit better at his job, but that's like not even with his character. That's just I'm a werewolf now, so my senses are heightened, so I'm better equipped to understand a dog's needs, and he's better at sex, right? Like it seems to be it.
Well, yeah, but also he's more assertive and more attentive, and
okay.
And, has more pride in his appearance and the way he presents himself to others. But what I didn't get about the veterinarian skills is when we first meet him and he's like a slob or whatever, he still seems really good and really efficient. Like,
so what did he
gain?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he should be able to straight up talk to those animals and look at them in the eye and be like, you got a stomach ache? Here's an aspirin, cat. I know that's not how you treat cats, but...
No, you give him enemas, which is really fun, by the way. Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. And I guess I guess if this is any credit, like, I don't think it should be, but I could tell, like, oh yeah, this was written by the same guy that wrote Dear Woman. Which isn't a compliment at all, but at least it means he has a style, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was very childish and very surface and really not engaging.
Yeah.
And like if he probably wrote this script when he was like 19.
Yep.
And no one said that it was bad. I mean, I don't even understand what that's like to just throw words on a page and have somebody make it and not have to like fucking grind and prove yourself and beg to be paid attention to.
So earlier like, today I watched the movie Whiplash, which I'd never watched before. And the whole
is that which What's that?
It's the Miles Teller jazz drummer.
Oh, the drumming movie.
Yes, yes. And the whole thing is that J.K. Simmons is this brutal, uncompromising teacher who just will never tell you did anything right. And there's a great moment when he says to Miles Teller, the two worst, you know, most destructive words in the language are good job. That as soon as somebody tells you good job, then you stop trying, then you don't think you have to try, then you... once you get confidence, then you can't see, you stop trying to be better. And now I don't necessarily believe that in full, but I kind of get it. And watching this episode, I'm like, yeah, I bet a lot of people over his lifetime told Max Landis, good job. And this is what we get for it.
Mm-hmm. I think we probably got into this in one of the many other things we talked about him during, but like he would brag about like, busting out a full-length feature film script in, like, a couple days or something, or a week. Motherfucker, that's not okay.
To be proud of. Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, maybe I could do that, too. Would it be good?
No. The difference is you're not Max Landis's child. Or John Landis's child.
And just imagine, like shitting out the script and having somebody make it. I cannot even fathom that.
Yep, yep.
And having no, like, pride in one's abilities or work. I just don't get it. This one was boring, poorly paced.
Yeah.
And there were shades of the V word, isn't it? The V word?
V word,
the name of the Masters of Zahara. So that you know what, they felt kindred, those two episodes, which makes me think that Dickerson's fingerprints are on this because it felt like his other episode. But this one was just really not great.
Yeah, I could not, because I didn't go into this as much as, you know, last week when we realized we'd be watching a Max Landis joint. I didn't go into this wanting to hate it at all, because I really like Dickerson. I really wish him more work. I wish him more features. He seems very happy doing television. He does great things in television. It's a great time to be a director in that medium. But I just really want him to be more celebrated. So I was excited to watch this, thinking, well, I'm sure he'll make it work. And I mean, yes, we know I am not a big werewolf fan. That didn't bother me at all in this. The actual fact that I was watching a werewolf story, not a problem. Fine, give me werewolves. My problem with werewolves is always, A, they never look good, and B, seems to be only one analogy ever made with them, which is,
yep.
See, deep down, look what's inside of you. You're an animal deep down if you dig. And that's really all I ever get from werewolf stories. And I think that's still true of this one to an extent. But it's just the tone of this one that bothers me. I didn't care that it was werewolves. We see the werewolf. He looks fine, honestly, for this.
Yeah.
Better than I'd expect. But is it a comedy? Am I supposed to be horrified by what's happening? None of the jokes landed for me.
Mm-mm.
And there's so many of them. The actors are all on different pages, and they're not bad actors. Wendell Pierce could do great things, and I just don't think he gets much of a handle on what he's doing in this one.
Yeah, and I have a question. I mean, it's probably... it doesn't matter. But do you think that this family and these characters were originally intended to be black, or do you think that...
Hmm.
Because you know what I liked? I liked that it wasn't like... And the V-word had the same thing. It was just like a character that happened to be a black kid.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, they didn't style him weird. Like,
no.
He didn't get styled like he was from the streets.
Right.
He was, and that gets so tired. Like, there are people that exist that aren't your stereotype of how... And also there are people who exist that are. But
sure.
Sometimes it's nice to see this. And this seemed like a successful, nice, like, black family. And I was like, well, this
is
nice.
Yeah, which is always refreshing, right? I mean, there's a lot you can say about Cosby. But that was one of the very important things about the Cosby Show, was that he's a doctor, she's a lawyer. They're a wealthy family, and they happen to be black. And I'd agree. I doubt this episode was written with any specific race in mind, or for a black family to be in mind. I'm sure this was written as a mom, a dad, and a kid, and that was it. And
it's just so often we see that, and like whoever casts it, whoever's directing it, or whoever like visualizes it, just defaults it to white, and that's frustrating.
Yes,
because that takes away a lot of, you know, potentially interesting choices, and I appreciated that.
Same.
Here.
Yep. Because it didn't feel like it had to be rewritten. It didn't feel like anything was out of place or trying too hard.
Yeah.
It just felt like this is I bought them as a family unit completely.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like the wife also kind of had a crappy role to play, because it just, I don't know. I mean, her motivation is just, I want my husband to have more sex with me. And that's hard to play off.
That's such Max Landis bullshit.
That's what it really feels like. And I mean, it's like, this woman is probably what's supposed to be like in her late 30s, early 40s. She's a mom. Her husband clearly doesn't have the stamina that she would like him to have. And it's just a weird one-note character that seems to only... Her motivation as a character is, you really just want to keep having sex with your husband, even though... And not like, look, Wendell Pierce is not an unattractive man, but like, he's introduced to us spilling jelly, donut jelly on his shirt, and he doesn't even care. Like, and she just wants to fuck his brains out. Like, okay, I guess that's how it works for you.
I mean,
you're the son of a famous person. Yeah. I almost wonder if like he wrote it after watching season 2 of Masters of Horror and thought Meatloaf was going to get cast.
it's really something. That's a strange choice, because that woman was a fox.
Yep.
And like, that could have been interesting, and it does do this interesting thing. So at the very end, you kind of asked this, at the very end they're all gathered together, and they're like the vegan werewolves and his family and the tech or the veterinary assistant,
who I guess is a werewolf now, because she's been attacked by a werewolf.
Is she?
I have no fucking idea.
I didn't think she was. So I didn't think I thought just he was in the family, and then he was like, well, this is great, and my life could be even better if my whole family were werewolves. And now he's going to go make his, he bit his wife, so his wife's going to be a werewolf now. And it made me laugh because the other day, for some reason, Zach said, oh, well, if I got bit by a vampire, something, 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 and then we would. And I was like, well, wait, how am I a vampire? And he's like, oh, well, I would just make you one. I didn't agree to that. So there was this assumption of like, yeah, well, of course you'd just be one with me. And I was like, okay. So it felt very much like that. And I wish that that had been good.
Yeah, because that in itself is a really interesting question. Like, I can't believe I pose so many outlandish scenarios to my husband. And I can't believe I've never kind of gone through that with him of, hey, if I get turned into a vampire, do you want me to turn you into one? We should really have that conversation after we record.
You should. Yeah. Because I was shocked at how, like, you wouldn't even ask me, or you just...
Yeah, like, there's a consent issue at play there that I think you should maybe, I don't know, have a conversation with your husband.
But I thought that was funny. But I took it more as like the assumption that if something happens in his life, I'm going to be a part of it. And I thought that was sweet.
Yeah.
And there's something sweet about that, even though, I mean, yeah, he should have asked her before he bit her.
Yeah, no, I think that's because, I mean, yes, like in sickness and health, in, I don't know, in werewolfism or vampirism or whatever the case might be. These are important things, I think, to lay out. And yes, it is unfair, because I guess the moral of the story is that, like, as long as you are a good person, being a werewolf just makes you, like, a better version of that person.
Yeah, there is, this is the problem with Max Landis shit. There is no moral.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to kind of, we clocked something else for doing this. Like, it had no stance, and we didn't know what the point
pro-life
of it was. Yeah, yep. Yeah, you have to have some, you have to present something.
Yes.
You can't just, like, it has to, I'm not saying everything has to be this huge metaphor or allegory or stand-in for real-life events, but I don't know, in something supernatural, it kind of does, because you need it grounded in a relatable,
yeah,
real-life situation, and I don't feel like this was.
Yeah, because what is the take, I'm trying to think of, like, the takeaway of, oh, I learned, and not again, like we're saying, you don't have to learn a lesson, but he was never going to get, quote unquote, better had he not been turned into a vampire. Like, he was still, yeah, going to kind of be, like, he was probably going to die of a heart attack in 5 years type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't, like, anything grander that happened. It was just he happened to be the lucky son of a bitch that was on call the day a werewolf got brought into him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Meh.
Yeah, just a sound effect, boop, boop, doo, if you will, type episode for me.
Like, oh, when everybody gets sad.
Yeah, like sad trombone. Like, oh, yeah. What is it, when you lose on Price is Right, I guess,
Price
maybe
is
that?
Right,
yeah.
I know what you mean, but I can't make that noise.
Nor can I. I'm sure that I could Google it, but it's more fun if we keep trying. Boop, boop, doo, whoa, boop.
Wow.
There we go. Yeah. On that note, I think that's all I have to say about this episode. How about you?
Yeah.
That is the best review ever. That, yeah. That's
I don't
it.
Know. It wasn't bad, but it was boring. So I don't know what you would get out of this other than the opportunity to see, like, a black family where,
yeah,
the dude gets turned into a werewolf, which I don't know how many black werewolf movies are there. For real. Like, none.
Yeah, good question. That's a good point.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, that might be the only thing worth it if... Like,
I wish somebody different had written it.
Same, yeah. Because there's so many, like, you know, any episode we watch, you could say, well, you know, if you were really into this, then maybe this would work. Or, you know, people that like this kind of thing. But with this one, I have a really hard time finding the audience for it, because it's, the tone is so off, and it's not funny, and it's kind of trying to be, but it's not. I don't know who would find it funny. So, yeah, the fact that it's a, like, I guess what, lower or higher, upper class black family is really the only thing of interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he's a vet, but there aren't that many shots of cute dogs, so.
Honestly, there should have been more.
There should have been more, yeah. All right, well, that's something with bite. Enjoy, or don't. Probably don't.
Probably don't.
Wah, 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 wah. Mm.
Look at this. My gold record from that novelty party song.
Aw, man, Trey, look up at the sky. It's a full moon on the Sabbath.
This is scary.
Break it down.
I was working late on my Haftorah when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes. He says, tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. But tonight's the time to join the Wolfen Clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. But tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
All right, that was great, Trey. Okay, it's over. That's a wrap.
Oh. The next day, what happened? The Toma didn't teach.
Oh,
I got up in front of everyone to give my little speech. Then my teeth turned into fangs and my nails into claws. And I nearly dropped the Torah when my hands turned into paws. I growled and I roared and my rabbi did as well. It was a rocking werewolf zoo at Temple Beth Emmanuel.
Hey man, where'd you learn all these Jewish words?
My manager, Harvey Lemmings. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
I just don't think the idea of the song can sustain itself for that long. It seems a little sweaty now, so.
This whole premise is sweaty. We had a reception at the Larchmont Country Club. They served a real nice brisket and an 8-foot party sub. I danced with my cousins, I got money from my folks. Had a lot of fun making circumcision jokes. Then I remembered the premise of my song. I was at a nice reception, but the werewolf part was gone. So we pulled ourselves together and we're wolfmen again. Just in time for monster fight to begin.
No.
All the country club employees were brain-sucking packed, who had all turned into zombies and were on the attack. No. So we fought them and some Draculas and Frankensteins too. Cause you gotta love bar mitzvah even if you're not a...
There's no such thing as Frankensteins.
Bar mitzvah, spooky, scary.
No plural.
Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah, kooky, hairy. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
I don't want this. I don't like this. This is scary. Turning into werewolves and stuff. You know?
I don't know, Trey. I'm not feeling it. This ain't no dick in a box. Mazel tov.